Why do people get results and then go backwards? Because this client of mine who I've trained, he's actually 59. He is down from 128 kilos to 112, so 16 kilos off. He's also had a heart issue, so we haven't really been able to go at it like crazy. It's just all been about getting him moving and getting him focused on his nutrition. And he's doing really well, but we still got a lot of work to do. And he's had a few blips, but overall he's continued to lose weight. And we spoke about, why do people go backwards? Like, and it's an interesting one, because I've been doing this 13 years now. And I see some people, you give them the blueprint and they just get it. They just get it. They go away and they get great results. And you even marvel at them. Even as their coach, I marvel at them and go, how do they do that? That's incredible. And it's because of the type of person they are, the type of mindset they have. I remember one client said to me before, he's lost like 5-6 stone, and he said, "Trains, I don't have any issues with food or anything like that. I can just do it." And that's brilliant if you've got a mindset like that. But there's a lot of us that don't. And I've struggled massively with it. I've yo-yoed over the years. And I have seen people come in, get great results, and then all of a sudden they start to go backwards. No matter what I'm telling them, whether they're still with me or they're not, they're going backwards. Now, why is that? Why do people get results and then go backwards? Well, you know, if you follow me and you kind of like my stuff, you'll know I try to talk not just about fitness, but it's about mindset as well. I've done a lot. I discovered self-development over a decade ago. It's been an integral part of my life, you know, with growing a business and trying to achieve my own personal goals. And when I went to Arizona in 2015 to study with Bob Proctor, who contributed to a book called The Secret, I got some real insights there as to why we go backwards. And it's all to do with our mind and our subconscious programming. Now, before you think I'm going all kind of woo-woo on you, hear me out, because this information is out there. So we've got our conscious and our subconscious mind, and our subconscious mind is, it really has no ability to reject. So if you were overweight as a youngster and maybe you were told, oh, you'll always be overweight, or your parents say, oh, you're just big boned, or you tried to lose weight, but people around you said, oh, don't worry, we love you as you are. Or maybe you were bullied about being overweight. All these messages that you've received have formed part of your subconscious mind. Maybe people told you that, oh, you're never going to lose weight, don't worry about it, it's just how you're meant to be. Quite often this programming starts at a young age via your parents, through people that maybe didn't have the best information themselves. This is why I think education is so important, especially to the kids. And I always talk about why you need to lead by example, because they are always watching. And people build up this image of themselves that they hold in their mind, which has been programmed into them. They then start telling themselves, I'm always going to be fat. I'm always going to be fat. I've had conversations with clients that, because of their weight, they have already built up an image of what people perceive them to be when they go into social occasions. And for that reason, they've had to drink to build their confidence and numb their nerves. Does this resonate with any of you? They have already built up an image of what other people will think they are just because of their weight and because of the stories that they're telling themselves. So quite often clients will get results and then they'll go back the other way. Why is that? They've still got this image in their head of being fat, being overweight, not being fit. Because of the programming, because of the negative self-talk. You've been overweight for years, so that's just how you are, right? You're used to feeling like crap. You're used to people maybe saying nasty things about you. people telling you you'll never lose weight. Oh, so-and-so tried that. It didn't work. So all this has formed this program, and all this has formed this picture in your head of how you are. So people will lose weight. Then they'll put it back on. What is it? Why have they put it back on? Well, let's eliminate the fact that maybe they did like a quick fix diet and then there was a rebound. I want to talk more about mindset. You know, why is it that you can show somebody a path to lose weight, give them a sensible plan, nothing restrictive, and then they'll get somewhere and then they'll go back the other way? And it's almost like they're out of control. They can't stop. So I've been training this guy, no names, done really well. Lost about 10 kilos with me in person over the last couple of months. And we've just started again for another 12 weeks. And he said to me yesterday, would you be surprised if I told you I consumed between 6,000 and 8,000 calories on Sunday? And I was like, what? Now, this guy's never opened up about that before. And he'd gone to watch like the American football with his mates. And I said, well, first off, like, are you sure it's that amount of calories? Because, you know, I can easily do a 4,500 calorie day, but that's a serious amount of calories. And so he said, no, no. And when he came in, we went through it, and it was about 7,500 calories. I said, where did that come from? And he said, I've told you before, I've got no willpower. I lack discipline. And it was the first time I've ever really had to do any mindset work with him. And actually, I'm going to send in this video because this is kind of, I based this video off our conversation last night. I'm not naming him. And I said, are you open to, if we just try and look at things from a different approach? And he's like, yeah, I'm open to anything. So this client is kind of, he's got an image of what he seems himself to be, what he perceives himself to be in his head. And now he's lost this weight, and it's almost like his subconscious mind is going, hey, come back. We prefer you, you know, when you're a bit fatter. We prefer you when you had a few drinks and you ate over eight. We prefer, it's more comfortable. Come back, come back, come back, come back, come back. You might want to call this the chimp. You might want to call this your animal brain. But there's a part of you that wants to sabotage. There's a part of you that wants you to be naughty, okay? So there's a book called The Chimp Paradox by a guy called Dr. Stephen Peters. He's a psychologist, and he talks about having this chimp on your shoulder, and the chimp is wanting you to make bad decisions. The chimp is emotive. It's an emotional creature. Let me explain this. You'll like this. I'm writing about this in the book right now. We've got a logical mind. You wake up on a Monday and you say, this is my goal. Okay, this is my goal. I want to lose this much. I want to do that event. I want to do this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it. Okay. On Friday, you're tired. You've had a long week at work. You're stressed. Maybe when the kids have been playing up. So your willpower, we talk about motivation, that's gone. But the little chimp on your shoulder is going, go on. You deserve it. Have a couple of beers. Go on. Have that Chinese takeaway. Go on. Go on. Overconsume. Go on. You deserve it. You're not working tomorrow. Just go on, do it. And then you do it and you wake up and you go, what did I do that for? It shows you that your animal brain, the chimp, took over. The logical brain, the next day is going, what did you do that for? I want to achieve this goal. So you could call it the chimp or you could call it your animal brain. It's important to understand these are urges. I read a fantastic piece in a book recently talking about people who have got binge eating disorders, and they come from somewhere. It might have been trauma, childhood stuff, whatever. And this lady has really said, look, forget all that. Take the emotion out of it. I don't care where it's coming from. Let's look at it from a more black and white perspective. It's an urge. And if you ride that urge out, it's going to go away. Let me give you an example. I was just talking to the client about this morning. I didn't get in until quite late last night. I had to go and pick up some football stuff for coaching the under eights tonight. And my partner always asks me, she said, what do you want to eat when you get in? And because I'd had the big jerk chicken in a day, I said, oh, could you just leave me a few boiled eggs? I know it's boring, but it's late, it's 9:30. So a little bit of protein before bed. And it was funny because my eldest son, John, will always wait up for me on a Monday if I'm home late. So he should be in bed but he will not go to sleep unless I'm in. So as soon as I put the key in the door, he appears and he's like, daddy, daddy, daddy. And he says, are you eating? I say, I'm going to have some eggs. And he said, oh, daddy, would I be able to have some cornflakes? Now, you know, daddy's like, is not going to turn it down. I haven't seen him all day. I said, come and sit at the table with me. You can have some cornflakes. Of course you can. Just don't tell mummy and granddad. And so he's having these cornflakes, a bit of a late night snack. And I've got my eggs with my like chili sauce on and all that. And he finishes and he leaves about a quarter of his bowl of cornflakes, right? Now, I've had my eggs. I've had like six eggs with like chili sauce, salt and pepper. I've had a big jerk chicken in a day. I'm not hungry. But almost when he left the table and I'd finished my eggs, this was like my subconscious. I just almost went into the bowl and finished that. Now, who's done that? Who's done that with their kids' leftovers? And literally, I was like that. And I went, whoa, hang on. And it was like I was like two people all of a sudden. It was like my animal was just going, finish the cornflakes. And then I just went, and I got the bowl, put it in the sink quick, got the milk out and washed it. And it was gone. But for that split second, I had an urge. But because now I've done the mindset work and I can distinguish between the animal part of my brain and the logical part of my brain. Logical part of the brain was like, yeah, you've just had good hit of protein before bed, Tregs, perfect, well done, calories on point. But the animal's going, have those cornflakes, Tregs, even though I wasn't hungry. And I've just gone, ooh, and washed up. Now, it was probably only 75 calories worth of cornflakes. But if you do that every time your kids leave leftovers, that adds up. I used to be that guy until I did the mindset work and realized, easy, all the time, Alf, all the time, Adam. And I talk about this in the book. I just used to be like, and you know, listen, it's nothing to be ashamed of. This is when you understand that that is your animal part of the brain, that is your chimp. It wants you to be naughty. It wants us to drink, you know, smoke, overconsume, gamble, whatever it is. All those things will essentially bring us regret the next day when our logical brain goes, what do I do that for? Why can't I achieve this goal? And so going back to the subconscious mind and programming, what you need to do, and this is the really hard part, and I'll talk about this in the book, is you need to paint a new picture in your head of how you want to feel and how you want to look. Now, normally, when people talk about weight loss is just a number. So I was talking to a client last night, and I said, well, what weight do you want to get down to? And he said, he's something like 85 kilos. And he said, 80 kilos. And I said, well, why? And he was like, and I said, well, look, you can't just say you want to get to 80 kilos. That's not enough. That's just what we can see. That's just a number. It's everything that comes with getting to 80 kilos. Like, how do you want to feel? What shirts do you want to wear? Like, why is it important that you get to 80 kilos? And it's the feeling that it's going to bring. So I call this peeling the onion. It's sort of just pulling back those layers as to why it's important, because it's not weight loss. It's the feelings that are associated with weight loss. Does this make sense? So you need to write down like what it is you actually want to achieve. And then you need to start to think about it. Like quite often, if I've had a client come in who's gained weight over the years, I will say to them, pick a time where you felt you're most comfortable with your weight. How did you feel? How old were you? What did you look like? How did you walk? How did you talk? How did you behave differently? Were you more spontaneous? Were you more spontaneous because you were lighter and leaner? I can tell you that being lighter and leaner, I'm so more spontaneous than I was when I was overweight. People want to do something? Yeah. Okay, come on. I'm up for that. You're more spontaneous. Yeah. Thank you, Alf. It looks like a new follower. Good to have you on here, mate. So understand this. Okay. If you've got any questions, guys, chuck them at me because I've still got 10 minutes, okay, for my next client. Understand this. First off, you're going to have urges. For whatever reason, you finish leftovers, okay? Maybe that was something you were just brought up doing. told not to waste food, finish the leftovers, whatever. You're going to have these urges, okay? Once you take out the emotion as to why you're behaving like this, okay, understand it's just an urge. A lot of the time, it's just an urge. If you just go, whoa, and just breathe for a second, ask yourself, do you truly want that? Because I didn't want those cornflakes last night after I had my eggs. That was perfect. I'd hit my numbers for the day. I was happy, you know? It was just because it was there. You know, I tell a story before about, I remember living in an apartment block years ago, and I got into a lift one day, and the person in the lift had a bag of fish and chips, and I could smell it. And later that night, I went out and got fish and chips. I wouldn't have even thought about fish and chips if that hadn't happened, but it was the smell which set me off thinking about that type of food. Client popped up recently in one of the WhatsApp groups, said, I need an intervention, guys. And he'd taken a selfie. He was outside Burger King at a train station. He's like, oh my God, the smells, the this, that, the other. And I said to him, look, had you not walked past there today, would you have even thought about Burger King? No. So quite often these things will be there at random, almost like to test you. I would never have thought of cornflakes last night. It was only because they were put in front of me. Thankfully, I was able to say, that's just an urge, no thanks. I've noticed people treat me differently when I'm in tip-top shape. This is a funny one, Alf, because quite often it comes from you probably feeling more confident, so you're giving off a different energy. Like, you know, we're told, some of the work I've done is that everything is energy. We're all energy. And when you're in better shape, when you've got better confidence, that radiates, okay? That radiates. Like I said to you, I've spoken to some people that are so low on confidence because of the way they look. It doesn't matter if they got a high-powered job, they're earning good money. They walk into a room and they already think they're being judged just because of their weight. The truth is, no one really cares. People are too consumed in their own problems to worry about anyone else. But these are the images that we build up. We build up this own negative view of ourselves because of the way we look. So understand you're always going to get urges, always, okay? But understand that all this programming, if you're going around telling yourself, I'm just meant to be fat, if parents or people around you, oh, don't worry, so-and-so, we love you as you are, you're just big boned, don't worry with another diet, you're always dieting, what are you doing that for? Come on, eat this with us, you're boring, you have to get rid of that. You got to paint a new picture. Because you're always going to have external factors. You're always going to have people around you trying to deflate you or take you off track. And it might be really hard for you to imagine this new self because you might not have ever been in that place. Some of you may have. I want you to go back there and visualize what that feels like. How did it feel being it this way? How did it feel having that much energy? How did it feel fitting into these clothes? How did it feel having that much confidence? And you got to feel it. You got to feel it. And you got to think about it a lot. You've got to lose the negative self-talk. You know, last night when my client said to me, I've just got shit discipline. Well, you've just told yourself you have. You know, I spoke to a client recently before that person was going to go and do a 5K. And she went, oh, I'm not going to run very fast. I'm a crap runner. Well, you've just told yourself you are. We're constantly giving ourselves these negative messages. We're our own worst enemy. Quite often we've been programmed by the others around us. But then we continue to talk to ourselves in such a negative energy. It's no wonder we're sabotaging. You have to change that picture. You have to understand that actually, why can't I get in shape? Why can't I achieve this goal? Because I always say this, if somebody came to me now, Trent, I just can't get in shape, I just can't lose weight, I keep failing, I keep sabotaging, I keep, I'm my own worst enemy. If I said to them, okay, so in the next 12 months, you've got to listen to me and we're going to get you in the best shape of your life. Otherwise, you're never going to see your kids again. Would you do it? Person's going to go, yeah, I'm going to do that in 6 months. So what's stopping you? It's the stories you're telling yourself. You're telling yourself you can't do it. Why can't you do it? A six pack is not impossible at 40, Alf. I'm 40. I don't have a six pack, but in good lighting, I can see four. And I'm happy with that. I'm 41 on Friday. I'm happy with that. I've got energy. I wake up, feel good. I talk about this a lot in the book I'm writing now. I believe at this age, I'm 41 on Friday, our life is more set up for us to succeed in terms of our health and fitness. 20 years ago, I was out boozing every weekend. I was out raving every weekend. I wasn't eating at the weekend. I probably did have a six pack, but it wasn't via health and fitness. I didn't live a very healthy lifestyle. Now, you know, I've got anxiety if I'm not in bed at bloody half past 9 at night. Now I'm looking at challenges that I wouldn't have never thought about in my 20s because my life's more set up. My life is geared around my kids. My life's geared around coaching my kids' football teams. My life is geared around having active weekends rather than going out and then just crashing on the sofa. But, you know, before I sign off, guys, I've got a client coming in 6 minutes. It's if you keep failing, and you keep failing over and over, and you keep telling yourself, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and you're imposing even more restrictions on yourself. You're going to keep failing. You've got to do the inner work. You have to do the inner work, and it starts with this. You're the best diet in the world, the most easy nutrition plan to follow in the world, most adaptable plan. It starts with this. You have to get an image of where you want to go. You have to have goals. You have to write them down. You have to constantly be reframing it. Why? Why can't I? Stop talking to yourself in a negative energy. I've got poor self-discipline. I'm a crap runner. I'm unlucky. I'm different. No, it's all bullshit. Because if somebody put a gun to your head and said, right, you've got to change your ways, otherwise I'm going to blow your head off, or you're never going to see your kids again. Trust me, you'd fucking change. But it starts up here, okay? The minute you do the work, you do the internal work, you start to work on a mindset shift, that's when you can achieve your goals. I read a great quote the other day and it said, until you're mentally ready, you will never achieve your physical goals. Until you are mentally ready, you will never achieve your physical goals. Stop looking for the next diet plan. Stop looking for the next quick fix. And it starts up here. You've got to change the self-talk. You've got to lose all that shit you've been told, which is keeping you stuck. You're a product of your environment. You can change that. But you've got to do the work every damn day. Guys, hope you get some great value from this. I really enjoyed that. I hope you did too. Keep trucking, guys.